Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. When Sanatan Goswami came from Bengal, he met Lord Chaitanya at the house of Tapan Mishra, where Lord Chaitanya remained continuously for 2 months to teach him devotional service. Purport. Lord Chaitanya taught Sanatan Goswami in the line of disciplic succession. Sanatan Goswami was a very learned scholar in Sanskrit and other languages, but until instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not write anything about Vaishnava behavior. His very famous book, Hari Bhakti Vilas, which gives directions for Vaishnava candidates, was written in compliance with the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sri Sanatan Goswami gives definite instructions that by proper initiation by a bona fide spiritual master, one can immediately become a Brahmana. In this connection, he says, Yatha kanchanatam yati kansyam rasavidhanatah tatha diksha vidhanena dvijatvam jayate nrinam. As bell metal is turned into gold when mixed with mercury in an alchemical process, so one who is properly trained and initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a Brahmana. Sometimes those born in Brahmana families protest this, but they have no strong arguments against this principle. By the grace of Krishna and his devotee, one's life can change. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam by the words Jahati Bandham and Shuddhanti. Jahati Bandham indicates that a living entity is conditioned by a particular type of body. The body is certainly an impediment, but one who associates with a pure devotee and follows his instructions can avoid this impediment and become a regular Brahmana by initiation under his strict guidance. Srila Jiva Goswami states how a non-Brahmana can be turned into a Brahmana by the association of a pure devotee. Prabha Vishnave Namaha. Lord Vishnu is so powerful that he can do anything he likes. Therefore, it is not difficult for Vishnu to change the body of a devotee who is under the guidance of a pure devotee of the Lord. Kindly repeat the translation. When Sanatan Goswami came from Bengal, he met Lord Chaitanya at the house of Tapan Mishra, where Lord Chaitanya remained continuously for 2 months to teach him devotional service. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guruhu Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine. నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద, జయాద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్త వృంద, జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద, జయాద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్త వృంద. జయ జయ శ్రీ చైతన్య జయ నిత్యానంద, జయాద్వైత చంద్ర జయ గౌర భక్త వృంద. హరే కృష్ణ. The study of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is very important for us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, because we are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu alone that one can understand the mystery of Radha Krishna and Sri Vrindavan Dham. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed these mysteries through his followers and disciples to the whole world. And Srila Prabhupada has broadcasted these teachings and included the commentaries of the different acharyas in his purports and his lectures. So through the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, the sublime teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come down to us. And therefore it is very important for us to understand these instructions very, very carefully. The Srimad Bhagavatam becomes very clear because of the conclusions given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not actually leave behind many direct instructions except for the Shikshashtakam prayers. Mostly, he taught what he had to teach to his followers, and especially the six Goswamis of Vrindavan led by Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. And it was these followers and disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who actually, having understood Mahaprabhu's teachings, elaborated upon them and wrote many, many books on the topic. So, the eldest among the six Goswamis was Sri Sanatan Goswami. And the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami, as given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, are popularly known amongst the Gaudiya Vaishnavas as Sanatan Shiksha. And this Sanatan Shiksha is considered very, very important. In fact, in his prayers like Vaishnava K, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has emphasized the importance of understanding the teachings of Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami. He reprimands his own mind, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and says, "O dear mind, do not try to become like a false renunciant who wants to do devotional service or bhajan in a very solitary place. follow the teachings of Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami, then you will really understand what is true devotional service. So Sanatan Goswami then went on to compile many books. Srila Prabhupada in his purports explains that the most famous book of Sanatan Goswami is the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And he says one must study this book carefully to understand what is a devotee, who is Krishna, and what is devotional service. One can understand the intricacies of these things by reading the book Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Fortunately, this is now available in the English translation through the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. Then Srila Prabhupada mentions that Sanatan Goswami also compiled a commentary on the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is called Dashama Tippani. Dashama means 10th, and Tippani means a commentary. And Srila Prabhupada explains that by reading this work, one can understand in detail the pastimes of Krishna, especially in relation to his loving exchanges with his devotees. And then Srila Prabhupada talks about the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which he also mentions here in this purport. The Hari Bhakti Vilas was compiled in conjunction with Gopal Bhatta Goswami and contains many, many types of rules and regulations for Vaishnavas of all divisions, of all ashramas. And Prabhupada mentions it is particularly, however, for the Grihastha Vaishnavas. But also there are instructions for the other ashramas and general instructions for everyone. So Srila Sanatan Goswami wrote many, many good instructions that all of us can understand and benefit from greatly. As I mentioned briefly earlier, that Mahaprabhu taught the world devotional conclusions, the philosophy, the principles, as well as the practice through his different followers. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that through Haridas Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the glories of the holy name. And through Sanatan Goswami, he taught the conclusions of the current of devotional service, Bhakti Siddhantira Vilas. Through Rupa Goswami, he taught about the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Elsewhere, Kaviraj Goswami explains that through Haridas Thakur, Mahaprabhu taught tolerance. Through Sarup Damodar Goswami, he taught detachment. And through Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, he taught humility. Through Ramananda Rai, he defeated the very pride of Cupid. Like that. So through his different disciples and devotees and followers, he taught the world many, many wonderful conclusions and lessons. And then Kaviraj Goswami also says, Sanatana Kripai Painu Bhaktira Siddhanta Shri Rupa Kripai Painu Bhaktira Sapranta. He says, I have learnt many things from Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. Kaviraj Goswami is the author of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he says, through Sanatana Goswami, I have learnt the Bhakti Siddhanta. Siddhanta means the ultimate conclusions. Siddha means perfection. And Anta means the end. So the end of the perfection. In other words, the ultimate conclusions. So Kaviraj Goswami says that through Sanatana Goswami, I have learned the ultimate conclusions of devotional service. And through Rupa Goswami, I have learned of the limit of the mellows of devotional service, Bhakti Rasa Pranta. In this way, Kaviraj Goswami is expressing his debt to Sri Sanatana Goswami. And on our behalf, actually, he is expressing his gratitude, because Sanatana Goswami has explained what devotional service really means. Raghunath Das Goswami has also expressed similar feelings about Sanatana Goswami and accepted him as his guru. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explains elsewhere that Sri Sanatana Goswami is called the Bhakti Siddhanta Acharya. He is the acharya, or the teacher, the great teacher of the conclusions of bhakti. And what this means is that specifically he is the teacher of Sambandha Jnana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught that the entire Vedic literature can be understood in terms of three steps. And understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and attaining perfection of life can be done in three stages. That is Sambandha, Abhidheya and Prayojana. Sambandha, very simply put, involves understanding who I am, who the Supreme Lord is, and what my relationship with Him is. And that includes understanding what this material nature is and how the material nature relates to the individual living entity and also to the Supreme Lord. And then there is Abhidheya, which means to understand or to act according to that Sambandha Jnana, to act according to the relationships and identities that have been understood in the Sambandha stage. Then, having followed this Abhidheya, the process of devotional service in practice, one ultimately reaches the perfection or the goal of that practice, which is called Prayojana. And that Prayojan or ultimate goal is Krishna Prema, pure love of Godhead. So Sanatana Goswami, through his books and teachings and his example, is called the Acharya of Sambandha Jnana. Rupa Goswami is called the Acharya of the Abhidheya process. And Raghunath Das Goswami is considered the Acharya of the Prayojana Tattva. So this is how Kaviraj Goswami has explained many nice things in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Sanatana Goswami's teachings are especially relevant for all of us who are in the beginning stages of devotional service. And definitely, those conclusions are of utmost value even for those who are very, very advanced in devotional service. So this is the importance of Sanatana Goswami. It is here in Varanasi, where Mahaprabhu has reached, that Sanatana Goswami was continuously instructed for 2 months. And having assimilated these teachings thoroughly, then Sanatana Goswami went ahead to write devotional literature. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that even though Sanatana Goswami was such a great scholar in Sanskrit and other languages, he did not venture to write any literature on devotional service till such time as he was specifically instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do so. And this is the proper etiquette. Sanatana Goswami exhibited this quality of humility which I referred to earlier. That even though a follower, a devotee or a disciple may be very intelligent, very knowledgeable and very proficient in the scriptures, he does not venture to do something very significant without the blessings of the Lord and the superior devotees. So Sanatana Goswami was not an ordinary person. Materially as well as spiritually, he was very, very qualified. At that time, Bengal was ruled by some Muslim kings. And Sanatana Goswami's grandfather, whose name was Mukunda, lived there in Bengal at that time. However, At a certain point, there was a rebellion, and some slaves who were from Abyssinia, they overthrew the Muslim king and they became kings. And Sanatan Goswami saw through this period. He was there at that time. His name, he was known amongst the Muslims as Sakar Malik. And he survived this period without any harm, even though the king was overthrown. The Abyssinians became the king. One of them became the king. And a person called Hussein Shah became the prime minister of the Abyssinian king. And then eventually, Hussein Shah became the king himself. And he made Sanatan Goswami his prime minister. Sakar Malik, he was not yet known as Sanatan at that time. So Sanatan Goswami was materially very, very proficient. He was a very good administrator and so intelligent that he could deal with all the matters of the kingdom very, very expertly. So the king was extremely happy with him. And at that time, Sanatan's younger brother, Rupa Goswami, who was known as Dabir Khas, was the finance minister. So both brothers, even though very young, were actually extremely in extremely high positions. And the Nawab Hussein Shah, he relied upon them a great deal because of their expertise. So materially, Sanatan and Rupa Goswami were very, very expert and proficient. That even though they were only in their 20s, they had become the prime minister and the finance minister of the king. Not only that, Sanatan and Rupa were also extremely scholarly and saintly personalities from the very beginning. They came from the illustrious Saraswat Brahmin community that had migrated from South India to Bengal some generations ago. It is said that Sanatan Goswami had studied various types of scriptures under the foremost scholar of the day, whose name was Vidya Vachaspati. And he was one of the favorite students of Vidya Vachaspati. And Bhakti Ratnakar explains this, that he studied all these under Vidya Vachaspati and he had great devotion for his guru. Thus, Sanatan Goswami studied all the various Vedic literatures, and the Bhakti Ratnakar mentions that the Srimad Bhagavatam was his favorite. And he would study this in depth. Rupa Goswami was also similarly a great scholar and very proficient in all the Vedic scriptures. Both were also great devotees of the Lord. So Sanatan Goswami was certainly not an ordinary person. But because he was so humble, you know, he did not write anything till Mahaprabhu specifically instructed him to do so. Another example of Sanatan Goswami's humility is when he was in Puri. This is after Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas and was residing there. Sanatan Goswami came there to live for a while in the association of Mahaprabhu. And every day, he would go from the house of Haridas Thakur, or wherever he was staying, to the Jagannath temple. But he wouldn't go in because he felt that he was not qualified. He felt that I have associated with Muslims so much. My very name is Sakar Malik. It is said that Sanatan and Rupa's father would take a bath the moment the shadow of a Muslim, if he interacted, his shadows intersected. So staunch was a father. He was a Brahmin. But Sanatan and Rupa were intermingling with the Muslims, so very, very intimately. So Sanatan Goswami considered himself to be unqualified to even go anywhere near the servants of Lord Jagannath. So he didn't even consider himself a Brahmin. And he was known by the name Sakar Malik, which is like a Muslim name. So he would go by the sea beach, even in the afternoon, where the sand was hot, really hot, blisteringly hot. And he would go by that way, and Sanatan, Mahaprabhu asked Sanatan, why are you going by this road and not coming through the internal road, which is not as hot? Mahaprabhu could understand that Sanatan Goswami was doing this in order to not come in contact with the pujaris of Lord Jagannath. Because Sanatan felt that he was so impure that if he touched by mistake the pujaris, and they would get contaminated. Factually, Sanatan was the purest of the pure, the most exalted Paramahamsa devotee, an eternal associate of the Supreme Lord. But he is teaching the world how a devotee must be humble. So in any case, Sanatan Goswami finally compiled so many literatures, which Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the purport. When Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he tried to go to Vrindavan. His first attempt was unsuccessful. He came back from Shantipur. That was where Shachi Mata, his mother, requested him to stay at Puri and not at Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu complied. The second time that Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan was after he had returned from his trip, his pilgrimage to South India. This time he went through the Jharikhanda forest, but he reached a place called Ramakeli, which was at that time a very important place. And among the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Ramakeli is called Gupta Vrindavan, secret Vrindavan. And Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis used to stay there. Sanatan Goswami would worship his deity of Madan Mohan there. And Madan Mohan is actually the Sambandha deity. You know, just as it is Radha Gopinath for Prayojana and Radha Govinda for the Abhidheya. And then they had ponds excavated, which was Rupa Sagar and Sanatan Sagar, which was like Shama Kund, Radha Kund. They had Govardhan there in their palace. And they had all the different pastime places of Raja, you know, replicated in those premises. So that was called Gupta Vrindavan. When Mahaprabhu came there, he met the two of them and he blessed them. With great humility, Rupa and Sanatan came before Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu said, you know, Rupa and Sanatan, my heart breaks seeing your humility. It was there that he gave them the names Rup and Sanatan. So Dabir Khas became Sri Rupa and Sakar Malik became Sri Sanatana. And then Mahaprabhu went only further up to Kanai Natshala and returned to Puri. He didn't go onwards to Vrindavan. When Mahaprabhu made his third attempt to go to Vrindavan, this time he was successful. He went up to Varanasi or Kashi on the banks of the Ganga, which is famous as being the headquarters of the Mayavadis. And he stayed there for a while. He had darshan in the famous temples there of Vishwanath and so on. But when he would do sankirtan in the streets and chant and dance, the Mayavadi sannyasis would become annoyed. And they would criticize Mahaprabhu and say that this sannyasi is come from the Bharati Sampradaya, which is our Mayavadi Sampradaya. But nevertheless, he doesn't follow the practices of a true sannyasi, a Vedanti. A Vedanti should spend his time studying the Vedanta. He should practice austerities and he should be very grave and sober. But this sannyasi is dancing and chanting on the streets in the company of the ordinary people, and he's just an ordinary sentimentalist. So they would criticize Mahaprabhu like this. Mahaprabhu's devotees, like Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra and so on, could not tolerate this. They felt great pain. But Kaviraj Goswami explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Mahaprabhu simply smiled and ignored all their criticism. And he went on. He passed through Prayag, modern-day Allahabad, which is in the confluence of the Ganga, Yamuna and the Saraswati rivers. And then he went to Vrindavan. He stayed in Braja for some time. He visited all the pastime places and then returned to Prayag. At Prayag, he instructed Rupa Goswami for 10 days on the banks of the Dashashvamedha Ghat of the confluence of the Ganga and Yamuna there. And then he came on to Varanasi. And this is the time that is being described in this verse here today. So having returned from Vrindavan, passed through Prayag, he came to Banaras, and that is how that is where he met Sanatan Goswami. In the Madhya Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami has also explained how Sanatan managed to reach Banaras. And that's an interesting story which I will narrate in brief, as given by Kaviraj Goswami. When Mahaprabhu had come to Ramakeli, it had such a profound impact on Rup and Sanatan Goswami that it changed their life completely. They were already, of course, exalted devotees and great scholars. But now they decided that they would change the way they lived. They became extremely renounced and austere. And soon after that, Rupa Goswami resigned from his services with the Muslim king, and he left behind many gold coins with a local grocer on behalf of Sanatan Goswami, should he ever need that in the future in emergencies. Then he went to Bakla Chandradweep, which was his native place, and he distributed his remaining money there. And he sent word in the meanwhile to find out the whereabouts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he got word that Mahaprabhu had left Vrindavan and was passing through Jharikhand forest on the way to Vrindavan, Sarupa Goswami also left for Vrindavan. And he sent a letter to Sanatan Goswami, asking him to also leave the service of the Muslim king and come to Vrindavan and join him there for the service of Mahaprabhu. So he wrote his letter in some mysterious language because he didn't want anyone else to understand what was written. He compiled a nice verse, and only Sanatan Goswami could understand the true meaning. And the meaning was that Mahaprabhu has left Puri and now he is headed towards Vrindavan, and you must also come to Vrindavan now and give up the service of this king, the materialistic king. Very little time is left in this life. So Sanatan resolved, yes, I must do so immediately. But the king was very, very attached to Sanatan Goswami, because Sanatan had made himself practically indispensable because of his expertise. So he said, the only way I could cut this connection is to make the king very angry with me. So he stopped going to work on the pretext of being ill. So many people follow that nowadays also. And when he didn't come for many days, the king sent his royal physician to check what had happened to Sanatan. So the physician came back and said, you know, Sanatan is perfectly hale and hearty. There's nothing wrong with him. But he's just spending his time with so many Brahmins studying Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Nawab came to Sanatan and very affectionately tried to cajole him to come back to work. But Sanatan said, no, I don't want to come. I want to resign from the service. And then the Nawab became a little stronger and more insistent and said, look, you're like my younger brother, and I'm dependent on you for everything to run this kingdom. And I have to go to wage war with the neighboring king, and you have to look after the kingdom in my absence. And if you leave my service, then everything will be spoiled. But Sanatan Goswami was firm in his resolve. The Nawab became annoyed and imprisoned him and left for battle. Meanwhile, Sanatan Goswami, he was the one who had employed the jailer, actually, the jailkeeper. the head of the jail, because he was a prime minister, so he was in charge of all the important appointments. But anyway, now by the king's order, he was imprisoned. So he tried to convince the jailer. He said, "My dear friend, you know, you are a very pious person, and you're a very holy man, and, you know, you should get the blessings of the Almighty Supreme Lord," because that man was a Muslim. "And you will get the blessings of that Almighty Lord by doing some pious deed. You know that I have been imprisoned very unjustly, for no good reason. So by releasing me, you will do a pious act and you will get the blessings of the Supreme Almighty." So the jailer was not convinced, because he was fearful about what the king would do when he came to know. Then Sanatan persisted. He said, "Look, my dear friend, you owe me a favor. Actually, it was I who employed you here. So you should do me this favor by releasing me." And the jailer was still not convinced. So Sanatan Goswami had some money with him, quite a bit of money. He said, "Look here, there's so many thousands of gold coins for you." When the jailer saw the gold coins, his resolve weakened. But still there was fear tugging at his heart, because the Nawab could give him some strong punishment. And Sanatan Goswami was pursuing the matter. He said, "Look, you know, I'll tell you what you should tell the Nawab so that you don't get into trouble. Tell him that I went for my morning ablutions, and then when you were escorting me back, I had to go for my bath in the Ganga, and I jumped in the Ganga and I disappeared. And you searched and searched for me and you could not find me. And anyway, my dear friend, I will become a Sufi when I leave. And I will go for pilgrimage to Mecca and Medina. So don't worry." The jailer was still not convinced. He was still apprehensive. Now Sanatan remembered the money that Rupa Goswami had left with the grocer. So he took most of that money and said, "Here, take this." And that was too much for the jailer. So he agreed. So he escorted Sanatan Goswami across the river, across Ganga, and came back. Sanatan carried or took along with him a very trusted personal servant whose name was Ishan. And so they went by not the main route, but they went through the forest and the villages so that no one could spot him. And he came to a certain place where there were some hills, and he wasn't quite sure of the direction of how to go. So he took the help of a local landlord who also happened to be a robber chieftain. Now this robber chieftain was into astrology and palmistry, and he came to know by his astrologer friend that this new visitor who had come had 8 gold coins with him. So he had every intention of stealing that from him and killing Sanatan Goswami. And he very warmly welcomed Sanatan. Sanatan Goswami was very wise, you know. After all, he had been a prime minister, so he knew the ways of this world. So he could understand, there is a saying in India, "Ati bhakti chorera lakshana." That if someone is too loving to you, then you got to be careful, there's something wrong. It's a symptom of a thief. So Sanatan Goswami understood that this man is obviously, he doesn't mean well for me, there's something here. So he asked Ishan, "Are you carrying any money with you?" He shouldn't have been, because Sanatan Goswami had left for a life of renunciation, and he was hoping that his assistant would also similarly lead a renounced life. Now Ishan did indeed have 8 gold coins with him. But for the service of Sanatan, he wanted to keep at least 1 with him. So he said, "I have 7 gold coins." So Sanatan said, "Give me those gold coins." So he took the 7 gold coins and gave it to the landlord and said, "Look, that's all the wealth I have, and I'm living a life of a renunciant, so here are the 7 gold coins." The landlord's heart melted. He said, "Oh, you're so forthcoming. Actually, I had made this plan to kill you. I knew about these gold coins. But, you know, because you have been so forthcoming giving it, you know, here, please take this back." But Sanatan Goswami understood that you can never trust a materialistic person, the kindness of a materialistic person. So he declined. He said, no, no, please keep. I'm a renunciant. I don't need that. And then when he went ahead, of course, the landlord escorted him through his people to the right way. And finally, when they went beyond that region, Sanatan turned to Ishan and said, you have one more gold coin, don't you? He said, yes. All right, so give me that gold coin. And he gave it back to Ishan and said, this is yours. And now you go back to your place. You're not fit to accompany me. A renunciant should not be attached to money and to personal wealth. So he sent Ishan back. And Sanatan Goswami was all alone now. And he walked through the forests and the villages and so on until he reached Benares. Actually, on the way, he came to a place called Hajipur, which is near the modern-day Patna town, the historic city of Pataliputra. And he met his brother-in-law, Srikant, there. Srikant requested him to stay on for a few days because he was tired from the journey. But Sanatan Goswami declined the request because he was very eager to have darshan of Mahaprabhu. But Srikant gave him a very costly wool blanket or a quilt from Bhutan, Bhutanese wool. And Sanatan accepted that and he went on and eventually reached Varanasi. He came to the house of Chandrasekhar, who was a physician. And because he was not a Brahmin, it was quite a break from the conservative practices of sannyasis in those days that Mahaprabhu stayed at his house. Generally, the sannyasis would stay only at the house of Brahmanas. But Mahaprabhu understood how great a devotee Chandrasekhar was, and he stayed at the house of Chandrasekhar. Although he would come to the house of Tapan Mishra to take prasadam every day. So when Sanatan reached the house of Chandrasekhar, he was standing outside. Out of his humility, he didn't want to go in. But the super soul in everybody's heart, Mahaprabhu understood that Sanatan was outside. He told Chandrasekhar, there is a holy man, a mendicant outside. Please bring him. Mahaprabhu, of course, knew who that mendicant was. When Sanatan came, then Mahaprabhu embraced him again and again. Sanatan and Mahaprabhu both started crying tears of ecstasy. Sanatan was feeling extremely embarrassed to be given such treatment by Mahaprabhu. And he also started telling Mahaprabhu, please don't touch me. I'm impure in every respect. I'm contaminated. But Mahaprabhu repeatedly kept on saying, actually, I am touching you, Sanatan, for my purification and for the purification of the whole world. And so he asked Sanatan to stay on there, which Sanatan did. But he had this costly woolen blanket. And Mahaprabhu kept glancing at that blanket, but didn't say a word. He just kept looking at it sometimes, off and on. And Sanatan understood, Mahaprabhu doesn't approve of this. So then he went to the banks of the Ganga. He saw a Bengali sadhu or a mendicant who was washing his torn quilt. So he told that man, he said, my dear friend, here, please exchange, let's exchange our blankets. I have this blanket and you can give me your quilt. The mendicant couldn't believe it. He said, you know, you shouldn't make fun of mendicants like this. You know, you shouldn't make fun of my poverty. He said, no, I mean it. I'm serious. So anyway, happily the mendicant accepted this woolen blanket and he took that torn quilt and he wore that and came back and Mahaprabhu was extremely happy when he saw it. And he said, yes, had you continued to wear that woolen blanket, you would have lost your spiritual strength. The strength of a mendicant comes in his renunciation. Kaviraj Goswami said elsewhere, Mahaprabhur Bhakta Ganer Vairagya Pradhan Jaha Dekhi Priti Hona Gaura Bhagavan. that Mahaprabhu was very pleased when he sees the austerity and the renunciation of his followers. So he was very pleased with Sanatan. And he was even more pleased when, after having come back from the Ganga, when Chandrasekhar offered him fresh new clothes, he declined. He just tore up his existing clothes and wore the, he dressed himself as a mendicant with the bahirvas, the outer cloth, and the uttariya, the upper cloth, and that's all he had. And every day he would get the remnants of Mahaprabhu's prasadam. Chandrasekhar was kind enough to give him that. In this way, Sanatan Goswami stayed there. When he arrived at the house of Chandrasekhar, he was unshaven. He had a beard and long hair because he had traveled for quite a long time and not had the chance to shave. So when Mahaprabhu saw his appearance, he told Chandrasekhar, please make him gentle in his appearance, because he must have looked quite fierce with his big beard and his long hair and everything. So Sanatan Goswami shaved up, shaved his head, shaved his face, and wore the clothes of a mendicant, gave up his blanket. And now Sanatan had achieved the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it was then that Mahaprabhu, for 2 months, as indicated in this verse, instructed Sanatan Goswami in the intricacies of devotional service and Krishna. So, sorry, we've gone over time. These are the glories of Sanatan Goswami in brief. Thank you very much. Are there any questions?